House will please be in order. Those persons not having privilege of the floor will please vacate the chamber. All members and guests in the galleries will please rise as we are led in prayer this morning by Pastor Randy Burdett. The prayer will also be signed in American Sign Language today by John Burdett. Pastor Burdett is a guest of the gentleman, the 46th District Delegate Campbell.
Please join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts and grateful spirits, acknowledging thou great God over heaven and earth, and ever good and perfect thing which cometh from above. We thank thee for thy mercy towards the state and for the privilege to gather in this house and labor on behalf of the people of West Virginia. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon the Speaker of the House. Grant him steadiness, clarity, and a spirit of service that he may lead with fairness and peace. Bless each member of this House, men and women, who, though from different places and perspectives, are yet all West Virginians. Give unto us a renewed sense of calling, a temperate spirit, a sincere love for truth, and that the work of this day may be marked by integrity and good judgment. We pray for guidance and wisdom for Governor Patrick Morrissey and for each officer of the Board of Public Works. Surround them with wise counsel, keep them from error, and help them to act with courage and discretion as faithful stewards of the public trust and guardians of the common good. Bless our great state, Lord, every community, every family in all 55 counties. Open doors for honest employment and lasting opportunity. Strengthen our economy with good jobs and let our labor be fruitful. We ask for good health care for our people, for the elderly and the young, for those in the cities and for those in the Hollis, and for those who can easily access help and for those that struggle to find it. Comfort to seek the sick, sustain the caregivers, and give skill, compassion, and endurance to doctors, nurses, and all who serve in healing. We thank you, Lord, for the National Guard men and women. Watch over them and their families. Protect them in every assignment. Grant them safety in training and in deployment, and return them home in peace. We ask thy comfort for the family of Sarah Beckstrom, who gave her life in service. And we pray for the continued healing of Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf. Strengthen his body, lift his spirit, and grant wisdom to those providing his care. Bless all who serve in uniform and all the first responders who run towards danger to help their neighbors. We pray also for those who devote their time and resources to the education of our greatest earthly resource, our children. Bless our teachers, bus drivers, aides, administrators, caregivers. Grant safe schools, steady homes, and hearts ready to learn, and help us to be faithful stewards of the next generation. Father, grant this house unity without compromise, conviction without cruelty, and strength without pride. Teach us to listen well, speak with grace, and disagree without bitterness. Keep us mindful of those that we represent, especially the poor, the vulnerable, and the forgotten. Let justice and righteousness guide our deliberations, and let mercy temperance every decision. Set a watch, O Lord, over our mouths and over our motives. Make us mindful that we may give account for the words that we speak and the choices that we make. May the work done here today bring peace, safety, and prosperity to West Virginia, and may thy name be honored in all. These things we pray in the precious name of the Lamb of God. Amen.
Please remain standing as we are led in the Pledge of Allegiance today by the gentleman in the 46th District, Delegate Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, everyone, please join me in a pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Members and guests may be seated. Reading of the journal.
Journal of the House of Delegates, February 18, 2026.
Gentleman the 41st, Delegate Maynard.
Mr. Speaker.
House will be in order. Gentleman the 41st, Delegate Maynard.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and that it be approved as having been read.
Gentleman the 41st, ask unanimous consent that further reading of the journal be dispensed with, that it be approved as having been read. Are there objections? No objections are heard. Introductions. Introductions. Gentleman the 50th, Doug Pritt.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to welcome to the House this morning most of the ninth grade from Oak Hill High School and their teachers that are with them. So, and they've only had to be asked to be quiet once. That's a record. So I hope you make them feel welcome today, and thank you very much.
Gentleman from the 11th, Doug Fehrenbacher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I have the honor of welcoming to our chamber one of the pages from Wood County. Would Tyson Elam stand up? Tyson is a student at Jackson Middle School, and his mother, Melissa, is in the West Chamber. Please show them a warm welcome. Thank you.
Gentleman the 22nd, Doug Linville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're joined today by some incredible students from Cabell County, and on behalf of the entire Cabell County delegation, I'd like to introduce them as they're up here for the Youth and Government Program. We have Ethan Zhang, Kiera Thompson, Zebulon White, Pippa Oxley, Caitlin Chongswati, Happer Corrigan, Noah Deacon, and John Limley. They are accompanied by their administrator, Dr. Justina White. If they would please stand in the House, make them feel welcome.
Gentleman the 13th, Doug Heckert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today we have with us Mason Stonewall of the SDA Church School. Is Paige with us? Please make him feel welcome.
Gentleman the 21st, Doug Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Joining us today in the West Gallery is a good friend and constituent of mine, Michael Kidd, if he would please stand. Michael is a candidate for the House of Delegates, but much more importantly, I'm sure he'd agree, he's the father of Aaron Kidd, who we all know is one of our rock star employees here in the House. Hope you'll join me in making him feel welcome.
Gentleman the 32nd, Doug Holstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a few introductions to make this morning. We've already got some pages running around. We've got three kids from Sherman Junior High School, McKenna Bone, Lillian Smith, and Jacob Evans. If the House would please make them feel welcome. And also, Mr. Speaker, today we'll be considering on third reading House Bill 4712, which is known as Bailey's Law. And we have several friends in the West Gallery today joining us that are here for that. And first, I want to recognize Bailey's parents, Zelda Craig and Jimmy Craig, if they would first stand and let the House recognize them. And then if everyone that's here today in support of Bailey's Law, if you would please stand in the House, give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Lady from the 56th, I get young.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, everyone. I have a page with me today. I don't know where she is right now, running around probably. Emma Slater, she's in 10th grade at George Washington High School, and she's joined by her father, Chad, if everyone would make them feel welcome.
Lady in the 19th, I got Krause.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of myself and the Putnam County delegation, joining us here today in the West Gallery, I have my good friend and the president of the Putnam County Commission, Andy Skidmore. If he would stand, and if the House could please make him welcome, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Gentleman, the 36, take a green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to introduce some awesome people from my old alma mater, from Concord, at that point in time, college, and now university, with Dr. Bethany McGeehan, president of Concord University, Josh Klein, the executive director of advancement, and Andrew Solgit, my own RD, chief government relations officer, stand, and the body make them feel welcome. And also, Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce a very special page that we have with us. My youngest, Jeremiah Green, is around here somewhere. He's getting clays for him, but if the House would make you feel welcome, appreciate it.
Lady in the 31st, I got Mizaki.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like for you to put your attention to the back of the chamber. I have my beautiful and smart young daughter, Maura K. Mizaki, here. Make her feel welcome.
Lady from the 63rd, Doug Dittman.
Mr. Speaker, in the West Gallery today, we have some wonderful students from Brackenson County Middle School joining us today. They are here for Youth and Government, and would they please stand when I call their name? Layla Frame, Hagen Smith, Laura Puckett, Alyssa Helmick, Brenna Horde, Audrina Facemeyer, Piper Weinmiller, Sophia Bush, Beva Shaver, Noah Harris, Bryce Friend, and they are accompanied by their teacher, Mr. McTaggart, and our vice principal, Sharon Helmick. Please make them feel welcome. Thank you.
Gentleman from the 46th, Delegate Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Delegate Canterbury and I have one page today, and he will walk. He's walking around here on the floor someplace. Please welcome Brant Blake. He is a sixth grade student at Eastern Greenbrier Middle School. He's here today with his father up in our gallery, Greenbrier County Assistant Prosecuting Attorney Ryan Blake. Will the House please make them welcome?
Gentleman from the 55th, Doug Akers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a page on the floor this morning whose mother actually works here in the House as one of our energy analysts, and her dad, someone who I went to school with. She attends John Adams Middle School, which is where my own kids went to school. Please give a big round of applause for Evelyn Kingery, whose parents are Matt and Emily Kingery. Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from the 66th, I got Kyle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I am blessed to have several representatives here from Randolph and Pocahontas County today. Not even sure where all of them are. I know in the North Gallery, we've got Kate Reed and Valerie Hart representing Wonder and Grow from Randolph County. We've got Tracy Valech and her daughter Anna representing Nature's Mountain Playground. We've got Chelsea Faulkner, Linda Adams, and several other members from Pocahontas County and the Pocahontas County Convention and Visitors Bureau. And last but not least, we've got three-time West Virginia Ladies Amateur Golf Champion Nicole Salzishin representing the Allegheny Trail. If you guys will please make them feel welcome.
Gentleman from the 28th, Doug Browning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm pleased to announce that today's West Virginia Academy of Family Physicians Doc of the Day is Dr. Kimberly Becker. If she could please stand and everybody could make her feel welcome.
Further introductions? If not, standing committee reports.
Your Committee on the Judiciary has had under consideration House Bill 4603 relating to the creation of the process of obtaining and adjudicating a pre-adjudicatory alternative disposition, House Bill 4656 relating to chronic absenteeism, House Bill 4799 to establish the Cold Case Task Force for the State of West Virginia, House Bill 4850 providing online training for executors, executrix of an estate, and House Bill 5341 to create a domestic violence registry and force committee substitutes back there for with recommendation each due pass.
Report will be received.
Your Committee on the Judiciary has had under consideration House Bill 4842 relating to civil remedies for the unauthorized disclosure of intimate images and reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass.
Report to be received.
Your Committee on Education has had under consideration House Bill 4693 to declassify community and technical education teaching positions to allow for counties to provide additional funding for certain positions. The reports committee substitute back, therefore, with the recommendation the committee substitute do pass, but first be referred to your Committee on Finance.
Report to be received, and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Your Committee on Education has had under consideration House Bill 4591 to recognize school athletic directors who have achieved a nationally recognized professional certification through the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. Report the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass.
Report to be received.
Your Committee on Government Organization has had under consideration House Bill 4663 to repeal the requirement for a special license for a multi-vendor private fair and festival, and report the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass.
Report to be received.
Your Committee on Energy and Public Works has had under consideration House Bill 4537, requiring municipalities to take action when potential customers apply for water and sewer service, and reports committee substitute back, therefore, with recommendation the committee substitute do pass.
Report to be received.
Your Committee on Energy and Public Works has had under consideration House Bill 5511 to allow money to be paid to County Board of Education employees' estates for accrued and unused leave if they pass away before retirement, and report the same back with the recommendation that do pass, but first be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Report to be received. The bill will be referred to the Committee on Finance. Other standing committee reports, select committee reports, executive messages.
Pursuant to West Virginia Code 3-10-5, I have this day appointed Betsy Kelly, Pennsboro, Ritchie County, West Virginia, as a delegate representing the 9th Delegate District to fill the vacancy created by the resignation of the Honorable Trenton Barnhart from this day through the remainder of the unexpired term of said office. Sincerely, Patrick Morrissey, Governor.
Communication will be received. If our new colleague will please stand. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make our new colleague, Delegate Kelly, welcome here this morning. Further executive messages? If not, Senate messages.
The Clerk of the Senate announces that the Senate has passed the following bills. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 185, allowing appointment of more than one chief deputy by sheriff.
The message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on the Judiciary.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 398, removing full-time requirements for health officers.
The message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Health.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 426, preventing damage to underground facilities.
The message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Energy and Public Works.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 603, relating to Property Valuation Training and Procedures Commission.
The message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Government Organization.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 648, Strategic and Critical Resources Act.
The message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Energy and Public Works.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 703, Adopting Social Work Licensure Compact.
The message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Government Organization.
Senate Bill 756, Extending Authority to State Spending Units.
Message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Government Organization.
Senate Bill 778, relating to eligibility for homebound services for exceptional children.
The message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Education.
The Clerk of the Senate announces that the Senate has passed the following supplemental appropriations. Senate Bill 784, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Human Services, Fund 8793. Senate Bill 785, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Health, Fund 5163. Senate Bill 786, Supplemental Appropriation, Department of Human Services, Fund 5094.
Message will be received. Each of those supplemental appropriation bills will be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Clerk of the Senate announces that the Senate has passed Senate Bill 802 relating to school preparation days.
Message will be received and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Education.
Clerk of the Senate announces that the Senate has passed following supplemental appropriation bill. Senate Bill 821, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Administration, Fund 2367. Senate Bill 823, Supplementary Appropriation to Department of Revenue, Fund 7352. Senate Bill 824, Supplementary Appropriation to Department of Veterans Assistance, Fund 6703. Senate Bill 826, Supplementary Appropriation to Division of Natural Resources, Fund 3211. Senate Bill 831, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Human Services, Fund 8794. Senate Bill 843, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Health, Fund 5144. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 875, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Commerce, Fund 8703.
Message will be received. Each of those supplemental appropriation bills will be referred to the Committee on Finance. Other Senate messages? If not, resolutions?
House Resolution 18, recognize the West Virginia 82nd Airborne winning chapter of the year on 8-9-2025.
Gentleman the first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent that the further reading of resolutions introduced be dispensed with, that each resolution be considered as having been formally introduced, referred to the appropriate committees as indicated on the chamber automation system.
The gentleman from the first asks unanimous consent that the further reading of resolutions introduced be dispensed with, and that each resolution be considered as having been formally introduced and referred to the appropriate committees as indicated on the chamber automation system. Are there any objections? No objections are heard. Petitions, bills introduced, motions, unfinished business, bills on third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 207, clarifying sheriff's compensation for collection of taxes.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman the 55th, Doug Akers, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 207, don't mean to take credit for their work. Senate Bill 207 amends an existing section of code that was last changed in 2024. In 2024, that change removed a complex formula with regard to the sheriff's compensation for collection of taxes, but also removed the county commission's role in approval of the sheriff's compensation. Senate Bill 207 simply adds back in the requirement for the county commission's approval of the sheriff's compensation. That's a brief description of the bill, Mr. Speaker. I urge passage.
Question again before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Gentleman the 13th, your vote's not registered. Delegate Heckert. Clerk will please close the machine and ascertain the result. On this question, we had 94 ayes, 0 nays, and 6 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 207.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4599 relating to the West Virginia CARES background check variance process.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, the gentleman, the 23rd, Delegate Worrell, is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill updates the CARES process. CARES conducts mandatory fingerprint-based background checks for employees with direct access to patients. This bill updates the process to speed up the renewal and variance process by allowing for early reapplication and requiring a timely response to ensure a decision before any lapse. I urge passage. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On this question, we had 94 ayes, 0 nays, and 6 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4599.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
House Bill 4638 relating to registration of voters and voluntary registration of organ donors.
Question before the House, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentlemen, the 23rd, Delegate Worrell, to explain the bill.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. This committee substitute amends the West Virginia Code to allow individuals to register as organ donors when completing or updating their voter registration. Integrating organ donation into the existing voter registration process and directs the Secretary of State to collect and transmit donor registration information to a national organ donor registry. I urge passage. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will please close the machine and ascertain the result. On this question, there were 88 ayes, 5 nays, 7 members absent. A majority of the members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
House Bill 4638.
Are there title amendments?
Delegate Akers moves to amend the title.
The question is on adoption of the title amendment. Those in favor of adoption of the title amendment will please say aye. Those opposed will please say no. The ayes have. The chair declares that title amendment adopted. The title is amended by the House will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4712, increasing the criminal penalties for DUI causing death to be known as Bailey's Law.
Question before the House, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? No objections are heard. Gentlemen, a 30-second. I got Holstein to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 4712, increasing the criminal penalties for DUI causing death, to be known as Bailey's Law. This raises the prison sentence for the crime of DUI causing death from 3 to 15 years to 5 to 30 years. It raises the fines for DUI causing death from $1,000 to $3,000 to $2,000 to $6,000. It clarifies that a person convicted of DUI causing death is not eligible for probation, suspension of sentence, home confinement, or youthful offender treatment if there is a finding that the person acted with deliberate disregard for the safety of others, as that term is defined in the aggravated vehicular homicide law. It clarifies that the amendments to this section in the 2026 session may be known as Bailey's Law. With that, I'll take some questions, and I'll reserve the right to close. Thank you, Mr.
Question Speaker. Before the House, shall the bill pass? Is there a debate on the bill? Gentlemen, a 30-second to close debate on the bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, folks, today this is a big day, and it's an emotional day for a lot of folks here today. Bailey Craig Bauer was a friend of mine and a very notorious person in our community. She was a business owner. Her and her family have done so much that folks will never know for people in my county. I was at church we have an early morning service on Easter Sunday, and it's just a usual 6 a.m. Easter service that we have on Sunday mornings this past Easter. And I could tell something was weighing heavy on my pastor's heart, and he was just acting very odd, and then he opened the service with prayer, and he said, "I've got an announcement to make." And he had his daughter turn off our live stream and all that. And he told us about the situation with Bailey, that she was killed earlier that morning by a drunk driver. Jimmy, her dad, and the family come to our church, and I've known them for years. They're such great, wonderful people, and some of the folks here I've known my whole life. And it's just an honor to see them here today. But I want to tell you a little bit about Bailey's case. So, again, Bailey was 25 years old when she was killed. And the person that killed her was 19. She was driving under the influence of alcohol and cocaine, was driving over 90 miles an hour, was in the left-hand lane, went all the way to the right, hit the guardrail, crossed both lanes, went all the way through the median, and struck Bailey head-on on her way home from her in-law's house back to her parents to spend Easter. The sentencing was this past Thursday, and the family had to sit there and hear that there was going to be little to no justice for their daughter. She got a six-month suspended sentence of six-month probation and 6 to 24 months in the Anthony Correctional Center. I have thoughts on that, and I'll refrain from saying most of that, but I have to the press and I have to everybody that's willing to listen. I think it's outrageous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm hopeful that this rectifies it from happening to anyone else and anybody else's family. One thing I will say, and I said this earlier today, is the strength that I've seen from her parents is impeccable. It truly is. Zelda has led this charge all the way. I've been in contact with her the whole time. She's been at everything that we've asked. She's done everything. She's just been wonderful, and I know she's crushed. And for her to be as strong as she is just really remarkable. And for her dad, Jimmy, like I said, Jimmy and I go to church together. And I have the opportunity, I play music at my church, and I have the opportunity to see everybody from my perspective during services. And I've watched that man, from the time he lost his daughter to now, still have faith stronger than most people I've ever seen, and still express himself and express worship and praise in a way that is just truly, truly remarkable. And I'm so grateful to have them here today, and I'm thankful for all of Bailey's friends who are joining us. Just a wonderful group of people, and I'm hopeful that this law will do two things. One, that it will prevent somebody from, or make somebody think twice before they get behind the wheel again, that, you know, these penalties are stiff, you know. And then secondly, if that doesn't happen, that families get appropriate justice, and this doesn't happen again. So with that, Mr. Speaker, thank you so much.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. As every member voted, If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result on this question. There were 95 ayes, 0 nays, and 5 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4712.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
House Bill 4765, Teachers, School Personnel, and State Police Pay Raise.
Question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, Gentleman the 12th, Doug Chris, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning. The bill would increase in annual salary schedules in the code for the base pay for West Virginia State Troopers, West Virginia State Police Administrative Support Specialists, and Forensic Lab Employees. The minimum monthly salaries for teachers and school personnel. The increase is approximately 3%. This increase will take effect July 1 of 2026. I urge passage.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? Gentleman, the 25th, Dr. Hornbuckle, is recognized on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I rise in full support of this legislation. I rise in full support of this legislation because West Virginia state employees, on average, salaries are 25 to 30% less than our surrounding states. So it is imperative that we do something, and we do something today. However, I also fear that it is not near enough. I feel that it is not near enough. And I want to point out something that really stuck with me. It was during the State of the State address, our governor talked about looking forward to working with the Republicans in the legislature on legislation. Folks, outside of the fringe groups, maybe the far left and the alt-right, oh God, they need Jesus. Most West Virginians want balance. Most West Virginians want compromise. The amendment that the House Democrats put up yesterday was about compromise. We added an additional 3% onto this piece of legislation, and we did so because PEIA premium increases are up 3%. So what we are going to pass today and what I'm in support of is just going to be a wash. They are not going to get that salary increase. That is why we put an additional 3% on there. And again, that was a starting point because this is a House bill. And if we had passed this and it went to the Senate, they could have reworked it, worked it down from 6, sent it back to us, and we could have negotiated. Again, balance and compromise is what we tried to do. And so understand that our teachers are still not paid enough. I believe they're ranked 48th in the country in their pay. And this 3% is not going to address that. Our state troopers are woefully underpaid. Just beside us in Maryland, they are actually paid, I know this is a lot, state troopers, law enforcement, are paid over 158% more. Thank God for Governor Westmore. He's a good one. Leads the country in paying law enforcement. We also know that our correctional officers, which we did not include, highways and service personnel, they're woefully underpaid. And so, again, while I do support this measure today, body, hopefully we have a chance to fix this because our state employees need more. Thank you.
Is there further debate on the bill? Gentleman from the 14th, Doug Falgan, is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rule 49?
Yes, under the set of facts relayed to the chair by the gentleman of the 14th, it would be the ruling that the chair of the gentleman does belong to a class of 5 or greater individuals and would be eligible to vote on this question. For the benefit of all members, others have expressed a similar request to the chair for a ruling under House Rule 49 prior to a vote on this bill. So before we do take the vote on passage of this bill, chair will offer that opportunity to all members. So at this time, are there members who wish to speak on the bill? Gentleman, the 72nd, Doug Riley, is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in adoption and passage of this bill. You know, we talk a lot about what's fixed in code, what's the priority of the, or privilege, I guess, of the executive. And in the end, is we learned and know, there's only three groups that are in code: state employees, teachers, and service personnel. And this is a 3% rate increase, 3% pay increase. And on average, a 3% pay increase for our state employee will be about $1,800. For our teachers, will be over $1,500. For our service personnel, will be just about $900. The 3% PIA premium on the best plan, $176 on average. This is a significant increase. We are rewarding our people. We do want to continue to pay more, but do not confuse 3% with 3%. Do not confuse 3% with 3%. These are significant increases, and I urge passage.
At this time, all members who seek a ruling from the chair pursuant to House Rule 49 as to your eligibility to vote on this question, please indicate your request by voting yes or no. Clerk will please prepare the machine. Have all members who seek a ruling by the chair pursuant to House Rule 49 registered your request? If so, the clerk will please close the machine. There are greater than five individuals expressing a desire for a ruling by the chair pursuant to House Rule 49. It is the ruling of the chair that all members of the body belong to a class of five or greater individuals and are eligible to vote on this question. Is there further debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result on this question. We had 95 ayes, 0 nays, and 5 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
House Bill 4765.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Further bills on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4990 relating to crimes using gift cards.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentlemen, the 55th, Doug Akers, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill adds new article to code involving gift cards and crimes related to their misuse. There's a misdemeanor added for anyone who intends to defraud another person regarding their use of a gift card. If the value of the gift card is $1,000 or more, Mr. Speaker, that penalty moves to a felony. This bill also adds a misdemeanor for anyone who tampers with a gift card by defrauding another person or entity by altering the gift card packaging. If the value of the gift card is over $1,000, and that tampering penalty also moves up to a felony, Mr. Speaker. That's a brief explanation of the bill. I urge passage. Thank you.
Question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill, please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? Gentleman, the 82nd, Doug McCormick, your vote's not registered. Clerk will please close the machine and ascertain the result on this question. There were 95 ayes, 0 nays, and 5 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4990.
Are there title amendments?
Delegate Akers moves to amend the title.
The question now is on adoption of the title amendment. Those in favor of adoption of the title amendment will please say aye. Those opposed will please say no. The ayes have it. Chair declares the title amendment adopted. The title as amended by the House will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Are there other bills on third reading? If not, bills on second reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 256, authorizing DEP to promulgate legislative rules.
Are there amendments?
Your Committee on Energy and Public Works moves to amend the committee substitute. This is HEPWAM number 1.
Are there objections to having the amendment explained in lieu of having it read? No objections are heard. Gentleman, the 11th, Doug Fehrenbacher, to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment is to add relevant language to the rule. It's on page 3, section 1, line 40. after the word authorize by striking the period and inserting with the following amendment, other relevant evidence of fair market value requested by the commission. In the committee meeting, we took testimony that provided flexibility for the incorporation of fair market value to be incorporated in the value of the land under these situations, and for that to be reflected in the monies paid to the landowner, property owner. I'll be happy to answer questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The question now is on adoption of the primary amendment just explained. Is there debate on the primary amendment? If not, those in favor of adoption of the amendment will please say aye. Opposed, will please say no. The ayes have it. The chair declares that primary amendment adopted. Are there other amendments?
Delegates Hansen, Hornbuckle, Flaherty, Hamilton, Garcia, Lewis, Pushkin, Williams, and Young move to amend the committee substitute. This is HFA Hansen et al. 2-19 revised.
Chair recognizes the sponsor, gentleman the 79th, to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a rules bundle, and one of the rules from the Department of Environmental Protection is the water quality standards rule at 47 CSR 2. And our amendment is within the water quality standards for one particular pollutant, selenium. Selenium is a pollutant that causes fish deformities, it causes birth defects in fish, and these have been found in West Virginia for bluegill and bass, probably other fish species as well. And the issue that I'm trying to address in this amendment is that the Federal Environmental Protection Agency has issued guidance on updating state selenium criteria. And there's three different criteria that we have here in West Virginia. There's one for the water column, that's how much selenium is in the water. There's a second one for fish tissue, how much is in the actual fish. And there's a third criterion for fish eggs and fish ovaries. When the Department of Environmental Protection, the state agency, proposed these new rules to us, they updated only one of those three criteria. They updated the fish tissue criterion, and they made it weaker to be consistent with the new science from EPA. But what they did not do is adjust either of the other two criteria to also be consistent with the new science from EPA. If they had done so, they would have made those criteria a little bit more stringent, a little bit more protective of the fish, would have resulted in cleaner water. So my amendment is based on the premise that if you're going to use the best available science, which you should, we should use that good science and good data for all three of our selenium criteria and not just pick and choose one. So I ask for your support, and I reserve the right to close.
Question now is on adoption of the primary amendment just explained by the sponsor. Is there debate on the amendment? Gentleman from the 11th, Doug Fehrenbacher, is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this was discussed several times in the Energy and Public Works Committee, and we had testimony from various people, including the individual from the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, whose team oversaw the responses to comments to the proposed rule change. So there was a change, as the delegate described, and it was to change one of three selenium standards to increase it. So to move from 8 to 8.5 or 8 to 9.5, depending on the fish species that were in the waters. The EPA commented on that and asked for the logic as to why the DEP made those changes. And in testimony in committee, that was explained. And if you go to the 389-page document that's posted in the Secretary of State's website, it's documented that the DEP followed EPA protocol. and that was how they derived the numbers that are reflected in the current rule, not in the delegates' proposed amendment. In anticipation of this amendment, I've done some further research, and there is a document that is EPA guidance. And frankly, that guidance, and if you're interested, it's EPA 820R24002, published in 2024. In that document, it references a standard that was published where the EPA basically takes certain limits and tries to make sure that the basis for these limits are appropriate. So let me backtrack. I realize some of this stuff may be, you may not be following, and I'll try to come back and explain it in terms hopefully we can all understand. There are three limits. One of them was changed. The suggestion in this amendment is to take a limit, the water column concentration, and reduce it from the current 5 down to a lower number of either 3.1 or 1.5. Well, in this reference document, this EPA guidance document, it says if you want to kind of make sure you kind of understand what's this number equivalent to in this other cases, it basically says, as explained in the 1999 update, within this 30-day period, because that's what the limit is, no 4-day average concentration should exceed 2.5 times the CCC. Consequently, the design flow should also be protective of any 4-day average at 2.5 times the CCC. To boil that down, what that would say is that for a 4-day average, the number is higher than a 30-day average. Because at times there may be periodic, you know, insertions of selenium into a stream or to a lake, and that over a 30-day period, those things average out, and so you would expect the number to be lower. If you're measuring things on a 4-day average, the number is typically higher. So what we have in our standard is that number, which is protective. And if you want to kind of check the math, our number is 5. The EPA methodology would say, okay, although that number was kind of like the reverse, going from the 30-day to the 4-day, if you go from the 4-day to the 30-day, you divide by 2.5, and you come up with 2, not 3.1. So this is actually more protective of the standard than, again, by EPA protocol. Lastly, let me try to make that analogy on something that we can perhaps understand. Let's say we're in a car and we're driving over hilly terrain. We're going up and down hills, and as we come up a hill, our speed slows down, we crest the hill, and we come down, and we're picking up speed. So it's like, okay, where are we going to measure, you know, that number? Is it like going in, halfway up, at the crest, or down? So where we measure something impacts the limits, and the EPA recognizes that. And so for a 4-day average, I don't find a technical basis to support this amendment. What we have is protective of aquatic life, and it's protective of human life. Please reject this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further debate on the amendment? Gentleman from the second, Dr. Zatezalo, is recognized on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of my colleague from the 11th. A couple interesting facts. The EPA has already approved the levels that are in the rule for the state of West Virginia, portions of the state of West Virginia and Logan County. I think that's significant. 5 parts per billion is a pretty low number. And for all of you who drink drinking water, I would like to inform you that the maximum contaminant level in drinking water is 50 parts per billion. So we are well, well below it. Which by its very nature, we're protective of humans. It's already been approved by the EPA. I think we should stick with the limits that we have chosen based on their calculations and their methodology. And I think we should reject this amendment. Thank you.
Is there further debate on the primary amendment? If not, Chair, recognize the sponsor to close debate on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would the gentleman from the 11th yield to your question?
Yes.
One of the technical issues you brought up was about the averaging period, the 4-day average versus the 30-day average, correct? I just wanted to make sure you saw that the last change in my amendment adopts the 30-day average for the water column concentration so that it is entirely consistent with the EPA proposed criterion. It adds chronic water column values are 30-day average concentrations not to be exceeded more than once every 3 years on the average. Does that address your concerns about the averaging period?
I would have to go back and take a look at the, have to pull up the rule to understand that. I'm looking primarily at pages 46, if you will, on page 46 of the rule, subdivision 8.2.7, striking out the first number 5 and inserting in lieu thereof 1.5 in lentic and 3.1 in lotic aquatic systems.
Okay. Understood. And if you look in the rule, you'll see there's already a footnote F for that criterion. So a sentence is added to that footnote.
Bear with me. Sir, as I examine the current footnote, I don't see any language in the current rule where there is a requirement of should not be exceeded more than once every 3 years. There is no, the frequency of exceedances is not addressed in that footnote, and for that reason, I would stand by that I believe the current language without this amendment in that footnote is protective, and that I would reject this aspect of your amendment.
Have you looked at footnote 2, which applies to all the chronic criteria, which is a 4-day average concentration not to be exceeded more than once every 3 years on average, unless otherwise noted? And so what I'm adding to footnote F is modifying that specifically for selenium.
You're not suggesting to change that. You're just basically referencing that as, am I to understand that the basis for modifying footnote F is to make the language consistent with footnote 2? Is that the basis
it's
for
essentially,
once every 30?
I'm sorry to talk over you. The reason for modifying footnote F is because, like you pointed out in your comments, there's a 30-day averaging period for selenium according to the EPA guidance. And so we needed to do something different for selenium. Rather than just default to the 4-day average, we had to use the 30-day average to be consistent with the new science. And
I guess as I see footnote F, the language talks about new inputs of selenium. And so to me what that suggests, I'm referring to footnote F, water column values take precedence over fish tissue values when new inputs of selenium occur in waters previously unimpacted by selenium until equilibrium is reached between the water column and fish tissue. The way I interpret that is that if there was to be a new emission source of selenium to the water, there would need to be some time for the fish that are in those waters to reach equilibrium. That language is protective of that. And so to me, your last amendment should be protective of that. And therefore, that amendment to this rule, the amendment to footnote F, I don't see that it is necessary for the protection of fish in those waters.
Okay, thank you for yielding. Just to speak to the amendment in my closing, first I wanted to apologize to everyone for getting into the weeds of footnotes and such, and thank everyone for continuing to pay attention. I know it's not something that's easy to follow the back and forth between us, but I stand by my assertion that EPA guidance has recommended criteria for the water column, for the fish tissue, and for the eggs and ovary. And what this rule does is it chooses to use the EPA guidance to weaken one of those three criteria, and it ignores the EPA guidance, the EPA science, that would have strengthened the other two. Now, there's that technical question that we were going back and forth on about whether the averaging period has changed, and I can assure you that I'm aware of that issue, and the entire reason why that last part of this amendment is in the amendment is to properly address the averaging period. You know, EPA has been directing our State Department of Environmental Protection to update its selenium water quality standards since 2016 and repeatedly since then. There is now a revised version starting in 2016, revised again in 2021 from the federal EPA. And like I said, there's three different water quality standards. And it's important for them all to be consistent because they all play a different role. It's a little bit different than many other pollutants. And the reason is that it bioaccumulates in fish. It builds up slowly over time in fish. And so the fish tissue is the best way to know how much selenium is in a stream because the fish has been in that stream for a long time. However, there are some streams that don't have fish, so you need to be able to measure it in the water. And there are some streams where a new discharge is coming in
where there has not previously been selenium discharges. So there has been no time for it to build up in the fish. And that's why this water column criterion is so important and why it needs to be updated based on the most recent science and data. We have problems with high levels of selenium in West Virginia waters. I can show you pictures of deformed fish, bluegill, bass, from here in West Virginia. And I would also like to note for my colleagues who sponsored and spoke in support of the Southern West Virginia Clean Water Bill that we had in committee recently, that bill included provisions to ensure that the most stringent water quality standards are in place in West Virginia that meet or exceed federal standards. This amendment is an opportunity to vote on that issue to make sure that rivers and streams in southern West Virginia and across the state are clean. So I would ask for your support on this amendment, and I would request the yeas and nays.
Debate on the primary amendment is closed. The question before the House is, shall the amendment be adopted? A roll call vote on the primary amendment is requested. Is the request sustained? Request is not sustained. Those in favor of adoption of the amendment will please say aye. Those opposed will please say no. Okay, noes have it. Chair declares the primary amendment lost. Are there other amendments to the bill? If not, the bill will be advanced to third reading. Next bill on second reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 309, authorizing DOT to promulgate legislative rules.
Are there amendments? Next bill. Bill will be advanced to third reading. Next bill on second reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 640, prohibiting release of certain personal information of contributors to political elections.
Are there amendments?
Delegate Akers moves to amend the bill. This is HFA Akers 2-18, number 1.
Are there objections to having this amendment explained in lieu of having the amendment read? No objections are heard. The gentleman on the 55th, Delegate Akers, is recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 640 is essentially identical to House Bill 5066. Which was running through Senate or House Judiciary, in which successfully passed that committee, but we're taking up this Senate version instead. During Judiciary, the gentleman from the 79th offered an amendment, which passed in our committee, and we're simply adding that gentleman's amendment into Senate Bill 640 so that it provides protection for the address and the employer for a campaign treasurer, similar to anyone who is a donor under this bill. The campaign treasurer's address and employer will be provided to the Secretary of State, but is simply redacted from any public-facing documents, again, being treated the same as any donor to a campaign. That's a brief explanation of the amendment. Mr. Speaker, I urge passage.
The question is on the adoption of the primary amendment, just explained by the sponsor. Is there debate on the primary amendment? If not, those in favor of adoption of the primary amendment will please say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, will please say no. The ayes have it. The chair declares that primary amendment adopted. Are there other amendments?
Delegate Young moves to amend the committee substitute. This is HFA Young 2-19.
Are there objections to having this amendment explained in lieu of having it read? No objections are heard. The sponsor, lady from the 56th, is recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thanks, everybody. Great last amendment. Let's same energy for this one. So this bill is about donors to political campaigns and what are on the campaign finance reports. It's changing what's publicly reported on the reports for donors over 250. We all know we all have to fill out the finance reports. They're really fun to look at and see what's going on. So what the bill does is it redacts the donor's street address, so the street name and the number. So it'll just have the city and state for the donor, which I think is a great thing. But the other thing that it redacts is it removes their employer. These are for contributions over $250. What my amendment does is it strikes the removing of the employer because I think that that information should be on our campaign finance reports. If we do this, we will be the second state in the country to redact that information because I think Wyoming is the only other one. That's right. Because I think it's important that we know where money in politics is coming from. Those of you who were here last year, remember we had the bill to allow corporate donations that this body shut down because we said we wanted to know where money in politics is coming from. And I think we need to keep knowing that. So the occupation is still going to be listed. I think the employer should also be listed. An occupation only tells you about somebody's role. The employer tells you their business interests. So I just reserve the right to close and hope you'll support the amendment.
Question is on adoption of the primary amendment. Just explain to the sponsor. Is there debate on the amendment? Gentleman from the 55th, Duggan Acres, is recognized on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We actually had discussion about that during committee, and that was something that during the committee process, we rejected that. It wasn't offered by amendment. It was just discussion that was not adopted. I can also tell you that if we adopt this amendment, it will actually conflict with the primary amendment you just voted yes for because we have redacted the treasurer's employer. So if we adopt this amendment, it means your donor's employer gets placed publicly, but your treasurer's employer doesn't. So there'll be an inconsistency in the bill. And I can tell you just real quickly, you know, as my grandmother used to say sometimes, some people just don't know how to act. It's just an unfortunate fact of life these days that the times are a-changing. I am self-employed, so I can deal with it, but I have had personally people walk into my business and yell and say terrible things to my secretary because she's the first person you see, and she's the nicest person you ever want to meet. I've had people call her and say terrible things to her. Just because she works, you know, with me. I'm not going to say for me because she's awesome and she does just as much good work as I ever could hope to. But she's had to deal with that just because she's in my office. So, you know, this bill, if it passes, it still tells people who what your occupation is. If you're a plumber, lawyer, doctor, banker, retire, whatever it may be, that's still going to be publicly facing. The Secretary of State still gets all of your information. They know who your employer is. It's just not going to be publicly available. We don't want people who are exercising their First Amendment rights. This is the policy discussion we had during committee. It's just why I'm telling you this. If you exercise your First Amendment rights to donate to a campaign, your name still goes out there. People know you donated, but no one goes to your place of work. And if you have an employer who you work for, someone who's not self-employed like me, we don't want you losing your job or your employer telling you that you might be in trouble or maybe you should stop donating to political campaigns because we don't want someone coming in here and yelling at the rest of us because you've decided to get involved in the political process. So that's a policy discussion we had. Again, it would be also inconsistent with the primary amendment. I urge rejection. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from the 79th, Doug Hanson, is recognized on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this amendment. I just wanted to bring up a very specific case that occurred in 2017 in my part of the state where the CEO of a company was indicted for essentially funneling corporate contributions through employees to get around the campaign finance limits. So he would give them additional money, they would donate that to a candidate. Now that was a federal campaign, not a state campaign, but that illustrates why it's important to have the employer show up, to have that type of transparency so that if there is a company that's trying to circumvent our campaign finance rules, it'll be much easier for us to identify that and convict them. So for that reason, I support the amendment.
For what purpose does the gentleman of the 55th seek recognition, Delegate Acres?
I correct myself. I did misspeak to the primary amendment. It just takes out the treasurer's address, not occupation. So I didn't want to misrepresent what I said about the general lady's amendment, so there would not be that conflict there. So I apologize for that misstatement.
Is there other debate on the primary amendment? If not, shall recognize the sponsor, lady from the 56th, to close debate on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the stuff about the treasurer is great, and I agree. Some people do not know how to act, and political violence is happening, and it's bad, and it's getting worse. And my amendment is not to take away from that, because that is very real. It is just to make sure that we have transparency in our elections, because oftentimes different groups are trying to influence our elections, and they can do that through small giving. They can do that through large giving. It can happen. I just think we need as much transparency as possible so people know where our money's coming from as elected officials. I think that's important. I don't think anybody should be harassed for being elected or for giving to anyone or any cause, really. I'm not cool with that. But I think we should know where political donations are coming from, and we should not be further putting that into the dark. So with that, I hope you'll support the amendment.
Question is on adoption of the primary amendment. Those in favor of adoption of the primary amendment will please say aye. Aye. Those opposed will please say no. And noes appear to have it. Okay, noes have it. Chair declares the primary amendment lost. Are there other amendments to the bill? If not, the bill will be advanced to third reading. Next bill on the second reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4355 to create a new hunting license stamp for upland game birds.
Are there amendments?
Delegates Howell G. and Heckert moved to amend the committee substitute. This is HFA Howell G. and Heckert 2-18, number 1.
Are there objections to having this amendment explained in lieu of having it read? No objections are heard. Gentleman, the 87th, Delegate Howell, to explain this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this amendment seeks to do is if you have purchased a lifetime hunting license, that you will not have to purchase this stamp unless you purchase it or get your lifetime license after the passage of this bill. It's just grandfathering the people in. I reserve the right to close.
Question is on adoption of the primary amendment. Is there debate on the primary amendment? Gentleman, the 64th, Doug Burkhammer is recognized on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Though I appreciate and respect the intent of what the gentleman is trying to do here, but if we exempt out the lifetime licensees as proposed, they would actually be afforded opportunity in the program and the privilege of taking part of the program, but then thus not providing any funding into the program. So because of that, I'm going to have to oppose the amendment.
Is there further debate on the primary amendment? If not, Chair, recognize the sponsor, Gentleman the 87th, to close debate on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To me, this is an issue of fairness. When the state sold these people their lifetime licenses, upland birds were included. We are now going to change the law and require a stamp for upland birds at an additional cost. I do not believe that is fair to the people that in good conscience bought their lifetime license believing that they would be able to continue to use that for their lifetime. I do understand that there is a program to stock the birds similar to trout. But there will be other people purchasing those stamps that have to. They have a regular license, or they'll purchase a lifetime license after this bill passes. So that funding will continue. That funding will grow as more people buy the licenses, and as we all come to an end at some point, those who have the lifetime license pass away. So in the interest in fair play and substantial justice, I urge adoption.
Debate on the amendment has been closed. The question before the House is adoption of the amendment as explained by the sponsor, Gentleman the 87th. Those in favor of adoption of the amendment will please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will please say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. Okay, the ayes have it. Chair declares that amendment adopted. Are there other amendments to the bill?
Delegate Brooks moves to amend the committee substitute. This is HFA Brooks 2-19, number 1.
Are there objections to having this amendment explained in lieu of having the amendment read? No objections are heard, and the gentleman, the 45th, Doug Brooks, is recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a pretty simple amendment to the bill, and what this amendment would do would be for those who are going to participate in these wildlife management areas, and that is the areas that's designated by the bill where this activity will take place, where the restocking of the birds or the implementation of the birds in these areas is going to be in the wildlife management areas. What my amendment would simply do would be for those who have who do not plan to hunt those areas, they would not have to purchase this stamp. So currently, you can hunt these birds with your base hunting license. If you want to hunt in an area that's not one of these areas, then you wouldn't have to have this new stamp. If you did want to participate in these areas that's going to have this increased activity, then you could purchase the stamp at that point. And that's essentially what this amendment of mine would do.
Question now is on adoption of the amendment just explained by the sponsor. Is there debate on the amendment? Gentleman, the 64th, Delegate Burkhammer is recognized on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And though I appreciate the gentleman's attempt, I believe this amendment undermines the intent of the bill of trying to create and sustain through a long-term process this upland game bird program. And removing a funding stream, I believe, undermines that. We did take into consideration the landowner aspect of this and considering that, so we exempted out landowner rights to ensure that landowners can continue to do this without the stamp. So because of that, I'm going to urge rejection.
Is there further debate on the primary amendment? Gentleman, the 45th, to close debate on the primary amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of folks have reached out to me, hunters, have reached out to me and asked me about this. And the quote that they were giving me is that we're nickeled and dimed to death. And I believe that this is just a part of that. I understand the intent of what's going to take place. And maybe it is a wonderful thing, but I think those that actually are going to participate in those areas should be the ones that pay for it. I personally don't even have a wildlife management area in my county. So I'm going to be purchasing, if I wanted to hunt these animals, these birds, I would have to purchase this stamp, and I don't even have a place to hunt those in my county. So that's why I submitted this. I think that the hunters, if they want to participate in this program, they could buy the stamp. That would help fund this. I understand what's trying to be accomplished, but I don't think it's right for those that won't be participating to have to pay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Debate on the amendment's been closed. The question before the House is, shall the primary amendment be adopted? Those in favor of adoption of the primary amendment will please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will please say no.
No.
Ayes appear to have it. Okay, the ayes have it. Chair declares the primary amendment adopted. Are there other amendments to the bill? If not, the bill will be advanced to third reading. Next bill on second reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4546 require biennial reports for limited liability and foreign limited liability companies.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4577 relating to driver's licenses.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
House Bill 4730 developing a continuum of independent living and transitional support services for youth aging out of foster care.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
House Bill 4819 relating to use of criminal records as disqualification from authorization to practice a particular profession.
Are there amendments?
Your Committee on Government Organization moves to amend the bill.
Are there objections to having this amendment explained in lieu of having the amendment read? If not, gentleman to 68, Douglas Phillips, to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Gentleman from the 57th amended this bill in committee by requiring a disposition of any arrest or charge made be included in the criminal background check. I think it was a good amendment. It strengthens the bill, and I urge its adoption.
Question before the House now is adoption of the amendment just explained by the sponsor. Is there debate on the amendment? If not, those in favor of adoption of the amendment will please say aye. As opposed to, please say no. The ayes have it. Chair declares that amendment adopted. Are there other amendments to the bill? If not, the bill will be advanced to third reading. Next bill on second reading.
House Bill 4958 to create the Southern Coalfield Resiliency and Revitalization Program.
Gentleman on the first.
Unanimous consent to advance the bill to third with amendment pending.
Gentleman on the first asks unanimous consent to advance House Bill 4958 to third reading with the amendment pending. Are there objections? No objections are heard. The bill will be so advanced. Next bill on second reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5197 relating to civil action to set aside a tax deed.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5212 relating to financial aid for post-secondary education.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5228 relating to clarifying the definition of electioneering.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
House Bill 5273 relating to campaign financial statements by candidates for municipal office.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5430 relating to pharmaceutical benefits.
Are there amendments?
Delegate Worrell moves to amend the committee substitute. This is HFA Worrell 2-18 number 1.
Are there objections to having this amendment explained in lieu of having the amendment read? If not, gentlemen, the 23rd, Doug Worrell, to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment removes the Medicare retiree plan from the prohibition on being an insurance and owning a pharmacy in the bill. I urge adoption.
The question now is on adoption of the amendment just explained. Is there debate on the amendment? If not, those in favor of adoption of the amendment will please say aye.
Aye.
As opposed to, please say no. The ayes have it. Chair declares that amendment adopted. Are there other amendments to the bill? If not, the bill will be advanced to third reading. Other bills on second reading. If not, bills on first reading.
Senate Bill 393, updating corporate net income tax definitions.
Bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 400, updating personal income tax definitions and provisions of law relating to gaming and gambling losses.
Bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4087, to create a West Virginia-Ireland Education Alliance.
Bill will be advanced.
House Bill 4404, increase the allowance for volunteer and part-time volunteer fire companies, allowing fire departments to make an expenditure for educational training supplies and fire prevention promotional materials.
Bill will be advanced.
House Bill 4500, permitting the Berkeley County Commission to levy a special district excise tax for the benefit of the Berkeley County Economic Opportunity Development District under certain conditions.
Bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5105, relating to financial exploitation of a person in recovery.
Bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5168, to increase funding for EMS first responders.
Bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5198 relating to crimes against the intellectually disabled.
Bill will be advanced.
House Bill 5203 to forbid any municipality from issuing an ID for the purpose of voting in a municipal election.
Bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5214 relating to drug testing of parents who have had an abuse or neglect claim substantiated against them prior to reunification.
Bill will be advanced. Are there other bills on first reading? If not, leaves of absence. Gentlemen, the first.
For our colleagues, delegates Kump, Levitt, Miller, Brian Smith, and Vance.
Are there objections to leaves of absence being granted? No objections are heard, and those leaves of absence will be granted. Introductions. Introductions. Gentlemen, the 80th. Edgar Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the South Gallery, we have someone that if you look at tourism posters around the state of West Virginia, he's the guy that's doing the mountain climbing. Paris Winfrey, if he would please stand and if the House would give him a warm welcome.
Gentleman from the 25th, Doug Hornbuckle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the West Gallery today, I have some friends from the local SEIU. Would they please stand up and would the House please make them feel welcome?
Gentleman from the 54th, Doug Pushkin's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also today joining us in the West Gallery, we have some friends from the Nicholas County Democratic Executive Committee, Pam Klein, Terry Rodabaugh, Devin Spinks, and Karen Tolley. Would the House please make them feel welcome?
Gentleman from the 13th, Doug Hackert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the West Gallery today, if you'd please stand. Former delegate Erica Storch is in the building. Please make her feel welcome.
Gentleman the 45th, Doug Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just realized a good friend of mine is in the South Gallery, Mitch Lehman. If he would stand and House, please make him feel welcome.
Do we have other introductions? Miscellaneous business. Gentleman the first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move subject to announcements. The House adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Are there announcements? Gentleman the first. Gentleman the 72nd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Subcommittee on Banking and Insurance will meet today, February 19th at 1 p.m. in the committee room of House Finance Committee for a committee meeting. The agenda is posted. Tomorrow, your Republican members of the Finance Committee will caucus in the morning, February 20th at 9 a.m. in the Speaker's Conference Room. Also tomorrow, your Committee on Finance will have a committee meeting at 9:30 a.m. in the House Finance Committee Room. The agenda will be posted.
Gentleman the 41st, Delegate Maynor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Subcommittee on Homeland Security will meet immediately following floor session, and the Subcommittee on the Courts will meet immediately following Homeland, the Judiciary Committee Room. Your Judiciary Committee and Subcommittees will meet on Friday, February 20th, in the Judiciary Committee Room. Your Committee on Judiciary will meet at 9 a.m. Republican members of the committee will caucus in the Chairman's office at 8:45 a.m. Subcommittee on Legal Services will meet at 9:45 a.m. Subcommittee on Homeland Security will meet at 10 a.m. And the Subcommittee on the Courts will meet at 10:15 a.m. And all agendas will be posted. Thank you.
Chairman of the 39th, Doug Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Standing Committee on Government Organization will meet today at 1 p.m. in the Government Organization Committee Room. The agenda is posted, and Republicans will caucus at 12:45 in the Chair's office. Listen up here for the Flood Committee. And also tomorrow, your Standing Committee on Government Organization and Flood Committee will have a joint meeting at 1 p.m. tomorrow in the Government Organization Room. The agenda will be posted. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman, the 92nd, Doug Height.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee on Health and Human Resources will meet today, February 19th, at 3:30 p.m. in the Health and Human Resources Committee Room. Republican members will caucus beforehand at 3 p.m. The agenda is posted.
Gentleman, the 43rd, Doug Tony.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Standing Committee on Education will meet today at 1 p.m. in the Education Committee Room. The agenda is posted. Also, your Standing Committee on Education will again meet tomorrow, Friday, February the 20th at 1 p.m. in the Education Committee Room. The agenda will be posted.
Gentleman, the 2nd, Doug Zatezalo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Standing Committee on Energy and Public Works will meet today in the House Judiciary Committee Room at 3 p.m. The agenda is posted. Thank you.
Gentleman the 25th, Doug Hornbuckle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in your offices is an invite. This evening, we have our annual karaoke, and everyone is invited. 7:30 at Sam's Uptown Cafe. Please bring your vocals. Thank you.
Are there further announcements? If not, the question is on the motion that the House adjourn until 11 a.m. tomorrow. Those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say no. The ayes have it. The motion is adopted. The House is adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.